Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, folks, if you had any doubts about the continued sustained recovery of the Chinese economy, perhaps those recent trade figures early this morning might be worth considering. And while those exports actually impressed with a 9.9% growth year on year for September, imports blew past economist estimates, growing by 13.2%, and thus helping China, at least China's external trade, at least show signs of improvement. But how does this all fit into the greater narrative of China's economic recovery? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Jeff Ng, who's a senior treasury strategist at HL Bank, to help us understand what these numbers mean, what impressed him the most, and also to help us take a look at Singapore's upcoming GDP figures. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. It's been a while.
Good evening, and thanks for having me.
All right. So, Jeff, talk to us about what you made of China's trade figures. And I do want to ask you about what you made about these imports coming in higher than what was expected. Consensus economist estimates by those surveyed by Bloomberg were only expecting it to grow by 0.4%. This blew past it in a big fashion, 13.2% growth year on year. What does this tell you about the fact that imports have been so robust in China? On top of that, also these export numbers that are also showing signs of continued and solid recovery.
Indeed, I think if you look at the China's September trade figures, this is the first time we have seen import growth so strong since the 2019 and pre-pandemic levels. So I think it does suggest that finally we are seeing some signs that the China economy is picking up, domestic demand is returning and recovering. So we should interpret this positively. So even though the trade surplus narrowed, but what we see is, I think, strong import growth from across the globe, especially, for instance, from Europe. So signaling some demand in the industrial as well as consumer goods. And I think this is a positive signal for next week's GDP as well as September figures. I think for exports and the trade numbers, I think it also still shows a continued sustained demand from the US as well as from Asia. So it's in line with our view that the economy for China will continue to recover as the year ends.
Do you think these imports, though, are coming more from consumer demand, or is it just because a number of businesses are starting to import more input goods once again, and perhaps producer price and factory inputs, at least, to help restart this economy that seems to be, or at least on the surface, at least out of the woods for the most part, or more out of the woods than other economies with regards to COVID?
Well, in my view, I think it's relatively broad-based. Of course, we still have to see the upcoming months like October to December to see whether this is just a one-off or a trend. But I think overall, if we look at some other like leading indicators or some rhetoric that we've been hearing on the ground, say during the Golden Week, travel activity also picked up to almost normal levels as well. So I think it's all showing the same picture that things are looking quite okay. The consumer is starting to look to spend again, even though I think for much of the year, the labor market outlook wasn't so great in China. And I think as external demand improves and domestic demand improves, I think the factories kind of demand for most of this signaled by a recovering producer price index is also positive for the economy.
Absolutely. We're still speaking to Mr. Jeff Ng, who's a senior treasury strategist at HL Bank here in Money FM 89.3. Jeff, whenever you talk about trade in China, the Chinese yuan has to be considered. And we've seen these trade figures recovering quite robustly, despite the fact that the yuan has continued to strengthen. But will this actually weigh on Chinese exports? And overall, will this still matter to policymakers who still seem to be favoring a stronger yuan moving forward? What are your thoughts?
I think it will not be a critical factor in terms of the yuan affecting on China exports for now, given the fact that I think if there's demand simply because of the fact that there's been some pent-up supply chain disruptions, I think that will continue to flow through for the rest of the year. And even if you look at the currency movements, they haven't strengthened by too much compared to, say, the start of the year when it was above 7. And I think if you look at the recent changes in terms of the policies where the PBOC have changed the FX forwards to signal a little bit of less appreciation in the Chinese yuan, I think the policymakers do want some stability, and they do not want excessive volatility like what we've seen in 2019 and 2020 as well. However, of course, I think I've learned from the lessons in 2015, where some subtle policies tweaks caused a huge change in the FX movement. So I think now they are trying to do it in a more nuanced way, and you know, keeping in mind that they still want to have some stability in the FX movement.
And granted, perhaps nobody wants excessive volatility in their currencies, but generally speaking, why do you think policymakers are a little bit more accepting of a slightly stronger yuan? What do you think has shifted? Is this also indicative, perhaps, of policymakers trying to at least favor domestic demand and purchasing power over, say, exports to take China into the next leg?
It could be, because I think what we are seeing is that when one's domestic currency is strong, you do feel a bit more stronger in terms of your purchasing power for the imports all around the world. So I think China also wants its consumers long-term to take center stage in reviving economic growth and sustaining economic development. So having a not too weak Chinese yuan, I think is supportive of that. And I think it also signifies that they continue to want to remain on the positive side of U.S.-China relations, where I think the U.S. policymakers have accused the China's policymakers of deliberately weakening the yuan. Although we do not see that happening, we see that more as a function of, I think, market movements as well as risk appetites during those periods of time.
Right. We're still speaking to Jeff Ng, who's the senior treasury strategist at HL Bank. Let's use the Chinese yuan as an opportunity to talk about the Singapore dollar, which does exhibit a strong correlation to the renminbi. How important is the yuan's state in determining where the Singapore dollar will move towards, Jeff? And also a very prescient question, given the fact that the MAS is set to deliver their next policy statement tomorrow.
Well, I think if we have looked at you know, the past trends in Asia currencies over the past few years, we do see some positive correlation between the Chinese yuan as well as other Asian currencies, and that includes the Sing dollar, because during periods of some weaknesses in the yuan, I think the Sing dollar has also weakened accordingly, and vice versa. So I think it's also a function of the risk appetites, because what we've seen is that when markets take on more risk, I think these emerging market currencies tend to do well. And if there's some risk adverse factors, they tend to not do so well. But I think the past few weeks, we've seen some volatility and some strengthening of these two currencies as the volatility faded at the start of September. We don't think that's going to be a big factor in the Monetary Authority of Singapore's prognosis, though, because for them, they do manage the currency against a basket of currencies. And I think that includes the US dollar, the euro, the yen, and among other major as well as Asian currencies that we trade a lot in. So I think overall, given that based on our own estimates, Sing dollar near has been trading slightly above the stronger half of the policy band in our estimates. We don't think that that's a cause of concern for the policymakers, because there's not too much strength nor too much volatility in the Sing near for now.
Fair enough. And finally, Jeff, I do want to ask you for your prognosis on the advanced third quarter GDP figures of Singapore, which are due tomorrow morning. What's your outlook?
I think we believe that after a double-digit contraction of around minus 13.2% year-on-year in the second quarter, we are likely to see a strong rebound in terms of the numbers, back to about minus 7.4% in our estimate. But I think the situation still looks very fluid. And a lot of this improvement is largely based on the fact that most of the months in the second quarter, we've seen the economy at least partially shut down and in the circuit breaker period. At this moment, I think we are in a recovery mode, and that should help with GDP growth against two excessively weak figures. But I think at this point of time, the improvement from current levels will be key. So I think for now, we still see that I think all of the major sectors like services, like construction, like manufacturing, I think they'll continue to drag on GDP growth. But I think what we are looking at is, for instance, if there's some improvements, especially from September, from October, as the economy gradually recovers and I think external demand starts to return as well. So I think this will be key to whether Singapore can finally register positive growth by 2021.
I know, fingers crossed that we start to see more rays of light, at least for the Singaporean economy. Jeff Ng, Senior Treasury Strategist at HL Bank, thank you so much for joining us today or this afternoon on Money FM 89.3. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety in these times. And we look forward to the next time we are able to have you on the broadcast. Have a great afternoon ahead, sir.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.